Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast on the Youth Critic Network.
You sound great.
Yeah, right.
What? You're telling me you weren't feeling it? You were in it.
We don't need to put them all out.
I know, but we just need to film.
Your hearing is deteriorating rapidly.
We'll come back.
Till then, Lou, we just keep going, okay?
No.
Lou,
no.
Let's play tomorrow. Let's see what it's like, okay? I'm gonna be like a click track. You can play to me.
You have to understand your first responsibility is to preserve the hearing you have. I can't hear you. Do you understand me? I'm deaf! I'm deaf!
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kale Smith. Joining me this week is David Weiser from Film Assessment.
Hello there.
And David, what movie are we talking about this week?
The Sound of Metal.
I found a place.
I think it's important that you stay here with us right now, Ruben. We're looking for a solution to this. Not this.
I need you to wait for me, okay? You're it for me, Lou. You're my heart. You're it for me, okay? You gotta wait for me.
Yes. The directing debut of Darius Marder. And it was a huge Toronto and Sundance thing from 2019 and early 2020, and now it's been on Amazon Prime since December. It had a little theatrical run last year and around November. David, how did you see the movie and what did you think?
I watched it on Prime Video on my MacBook, or not my MacBook, my Mac. So I watched it on New Year's Eve or the day before, around there. It was towards the end of the year. I was trying to cram in some last minute 2020 releases.
Yes. And I also saw this on Prime, so I did not get to see this in theater. But it still was visually impressive to watch on my television. And I mean, what has not been said about Sound of Metal? It's an impressive debut. Riz Ahmed gives an Oscar-worthy performance. And even, I'll throw this in, I think Olivia Cooke also deserves a supporting actress nod. And as well as Paul Raci.
Paul Raci is great.
Yeah. If there was any actor that deserved a supporting nom, I don't know about a win, because I don't really know what that race looks like right now, other than maybe Chadwick Boseman from The Five Bloods. But what I would say is, you know, I think Paul Raci deserves to be in that conversation of actors that gave really great, a really good supporting performance. And I mean, we're jumping around a little bit, but yeah, I think Paul Raci is just incredible in this. And everyone else is. The cinematography is fantastic. The sound design in this movie was impressive. I can't speak highly enough. So going deeper into it, what more did you think of Sound of Metal?
Narratively, I really loved the I can't remember Riz Ahmed's character's name off the top of my head, but Ruben. I liked Ruben's arc a lot in terms of, I don't know, do we want to just go into spoilers or?
Let's discuss everything but the last act.
Okay. Well, I really liked his arc. We'll touch more on it later. I liked how the community he went to, like the deaf community, didn't perceive deafness as a handicap. And I liked that that was like a prime focus of that community. Like, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, so going into the movie, I mean, the deaf community itself is one that, you know, it could have gone in many different ways and it could have been read different wrongly, but the way this movie narratively sets up Paul Ressi's kind of speech at the end that, you know, these people, our friends, you know, the people that you have accustomed to and the people that have taught you how to be deaf, you know, they don't think of it as an, you know, a handicap or a wound, or they don't think of it. It's an exceptionality, really. It's an exception. I mean, I know I'm paraphrasing, but that's how the entire community there is treated. They've treated their exceptionality as, you know, as it is. And it's something to overcome. And not getting too spoilery with the arc, but that is sort of the arc of the movie, is learning to live with your exceptionalities, learning to live, because in the movie it's never stated what trauma there is with the character, but there's always a hidden trauma. You know, it mentions, you know, he was a heroin addict at one point. But I mean, you always felt there was something deeper in that character's pathos that was never spoken of. And here, you know, and here he is. He's learning to, in an interesting way, to not let go, but to live with what he has, what life has given him. And I think that's a very profound message for 2020. But you know, what impressed you with the technical aspects?
I mean, everything you mentioned, the sound design, of course. I really thought the most impressive thing about that was how they immersed you in Ruben's, I guess, audio space, or like you hear what he hears, and not throughout the entire film, because that might be a little excessive, but for like they do a really good job of putting you in his point of view, and kind of and one thing I thought was interesting was that there were key moments, because I watched it with subtitles turned on, and there were moments when there were no subtitles when people were talking, so even the subtitles aren't able to help you interpret what other people are saying. And I feel like that kind of enhanced the experience in a way of kind of putting you in his shoes, of like he is kind of lost in a sense, like he's very confused and he's having trouble communicating with people because he can't hear them, and so he doesn't know what they're saying, and he's having trouble reading lips and things. And so like to kind of push that onto the audience as well, I thought that was really interesting.
Right. But what's so unique is it's never meant to make you feel intimidated by this, even though it's meant to give a challenge to, it's meant to set up a challenge for Ruben. It never feels intimidating. It never feels sinister. It all feels welcoming. And like, it's just, you know, there's the challenge of learning sign, you know, ASL and lip reading. And that's, you know, why, and And you know, and I didn't watch this with subtitles. I probably should have, just to see if there, if you know, just see if there was. But yeah, I think that's a cool thing to do in the subtitles. Is just not have, just be, so it was just like, you know, sign language is going on. That's what it was in the subtitles.
I think the subtitles translated the sign language, but like, for example, anytime that, so like when he goes to the doctor and he's talking to him and you can kind of hear, it's like kind of sounds mumbly, like times, occasions like that, when people are speaking to him and you're, and you, in terms of the audio scape, like you can, or the soundscape, you can, like if it sounds very muffled, anytime it's like that, anytime the sound design was anything remotely close to that, the subtitles just, there was nothing.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's a really creative way to use subtitles. Wow. So in going from the sound design, which, you know, it becomes interesting in the third act when, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. So going into the third act, these are some spoilers. The third act, you know, begins, or the end of the second act, you know, beginning of the third act, starts with Ruben's character getting this, let me go up and see what it's called, cochlear implants, to try and correct, or better yet, you know, kind of get some kind of hearing back, if you will. And in the movie, it's presented as this like goal of like, if this unreachable goal, but the moment he kind of sells everything that, you know, was his past life, and then is treated to the implants, it's not the same. Like, it sounds very scattershot. It sounds like radio static, if you will. And in, again, I love that the story constantly keeps like trying to push, you know, the Ruben to move on, but then use the cochlear implants as like a, you know, as a link to the past, but then it's really, you know, it really doesn't work out, or it does work out, but it really is not what we expected.
I really like that element, because like he kind of, that people warn him that it doesn't like fully bring back his hearing, but he kind of ignores those warnings because he's just like latches on to this hope of like getting his hearing back to what it was, so he can be the drummer that he wants to be. And like the fact that, like, I think just the very essence of the premise, like having something taken away from you that is so fundamentally a piece of who you are, because in order to be a drummer, you have to be able to hear, to like, it's just part of tempo and all of that. Like, it's very important. And so it's like to have your identity kind of like compromised by something that's like a sudden shift, and then like that desperate longing to like, and like desperate chase to like do whatever you can to get back to it, and then for that, once he has the implants, for it to not really be what he thought it was going to be and not fully repair his hearing like he thought it would, was really fascinating. And then I just like the ending when he's like kind of just tunes out the implants and he just like sits in silence, and so like he did all this and now he's just appreciating, now he appreciates being deaf in a sense, because he hears all these like extra radio noise or all this static and all that, you know, it's just like difficult to interpret, and it's just like kind of overwhelming in large public areas and stuff. And so like it makes him appreciate what he thought he didn't, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, at the end of the movie, it's the end of the arc where he learns to just live with his, you know, with that exceptionality in that he is deaf, and there's nothing that can, there's nothing at the moment that can stop, you know, bring back his hearing the way he remembered it. The way, you know, we saw it in that first 10 minutes where he's drumming it out, or, you know, dance, or listening to vinyl, or listening to his smoothie maker, you know, mix all of those ingredients together. You know, it's all of that's gone, and all of that memory is gone. And now you just have to live with, you know, being in the same way that he has to now live with being an addict. He has to live with himself as, you know, an addict, but also live with himself as a deaf person. And then it's a great arc of getting to the central arc of just, you know, learning to live with trauma, learning to live with pain. And I don't, and yeah, the final shot of the movie where he just takes off the implant, or not take out the implants in his head, but just like takes off the outer part of the implants. It's just like, oh, it's just beautiful. And then it's just all silent. Yeah, it's a beautiful movie. It is an absolutely gorgeous, it's a beautiful movie. But there's a few more things we need to touch on. So Olivia Cooke is in this movie, and her transformation in this is completely interesting because she's going through her own arc of the trauma. As we find out later in the movie, her mother died, committed suicide, and, you know, and basically in that, and her mother kind of ruined her relationship with her father. And so, and that's, you know, her kind of arc. And then Joe has an arc. I mean, it's just, or Joe had an arc, but he's trying, but he's inspiring change. So that's his arc. So yeah. Yeah. And I thought I think Olivia, so I really liked Olivia Cooke in this. What'd you think of her performance?
Oh, it was great. She was great. Riz Ahmed was great. Paul Raci was great. Everyone was great in this. I felt like, especially like from what I read, a lot of the people they hired for, or cast for like the deaf community are actually deaf. And so it kind of brought like a layer of authenticity to it, even though like you may not have realized it, like that it, that was why. Like when I was just looking at afterwards, I found that out, and I was like, oh, that's why that felt like, it didn't really feel like they were actors. It felt like they were just people.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And even more, you know, you see through little scenes, little glimmers, like the little boy that the movie kind of focuses in on, and how he wants, you know, he plays, you know, kind of a tap on the slide. You get a sense of humanity out of everyone, even if their role is very minor. Mm-hmm. And that's what I liked about, that's what I liked about it. It's just a movie that's so filled with humanity, you know, a movie that's, you know, starts out extremely loud, incredibly, you know, invading your kind of, you know, your own kind of sound space, you know, with the like punk rock song. And then you end the movie with quietness, just appreciating everything else but this, you know, the lack of sound. And yeah, what else can we talk about with Sound of Metal?
That's all I have for right now, unless you think of something that sparks.
So I'm kind of looking down at the awards race.
doesn't get nominated for at least best. I don't know if they're still splitting the sound categories, like I are combining them or not, but if it doesn't get nominated for like sound mixing or sound editing or best sound or whatever it ends up being, like that's criminal. Riz Ahmed deserves the nomination for sure. Paul Raci and Olivia Cooke do as well, from what I would compare them against, from what I've seen. Maybe best original screenplay.
I would at least give nominations to the actors.
I think you could make a case for best picture.
I don't know. Have they come out?
Not to win it, but like for a nomination.
And they haven't come out with how many they're going to do, right?
I believe since 2011 or 2012, they went to 10 nominees, and then now it's like a sliding scale. It varies. It can be from, I think it can be from 8 to 10. Like it just depends every year. There's not really a constant.
Okay. So, I mean, it could, but I wonder like how it's not nominated yet by the SAG or Screen Actors Guild yet, but I wonder if it will get any SAG nominations, because it is so, like, this has a great ensemble piece in it, even though it's so small. Like, and you would want to, I'm sure you would want to give it more to, like, stuff like Trial Chicago 7 or Mulaney or even To Five Bloods, but still, you just want to, you know, you still want to give that, I don't know, like, there's just, this was a great cast, and it's a movie that doesn't, I don't think you could make it work without this cast. So, but you're right about the sound thing. I do think they did take away the split this year. I am not sure on that. I can check real quick.
I just remember seeing something about that like very early last year, and then I didn't know what became of it.
But I mean, I'm almost positive they got rid of it, but then again, I don't think so. But they could have kept it and changed their minds, because it is a two distinct different departments.
Yeah, I feel like the sound branch would throw a fit. It would be upset.
Yeah, so I would definitely go all in on sound for Sound of Metal. Mostly because, you know Tenet's somehow gonna be in there. Just gonna be for the more noise, for the most noisiest. But I would hand Sound of Metal a nomination and even a win, because I think this is one of the best sounding movies I've listened to all year.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to think of what else. I don't have much more. I think they're, I can't wait to see what Martyr does next, Martyr does next, because the way he immerses us into this world and the way he gets us, you know, to see the humanity and all of this, it's something I haven't seen since Short Term 12, you know, and that was Daniel Destin Critton, and now he's doing Shang-Chi, so I can't wait to see what he's going to do next. Is there anything else for Sound of Metal?
Good movie. Make use of your Prime subscription and watch it.
Yes. Yes. Unfortunately, you can't see it anywhere else, but you know, it is an absolutely great film, and I think it will be talked about in the Oscars. It will be the snub of the year. And I know Amazon's kind of trying to move away from their Oscar, you know, caliber level stuff, but I think that, but I mean, they have a clear, you know, campaign for this one. So, but yeah, I was impressed. All right. So I have not seen anything else, and I'm saving, Moraine Black Bottom, which is a good movie. I do recommend it. It's, you know, and definitely check it out on Netflix. I'm saving that for a different podcast. So, David, is there any other films that you've seen that you want to talk about?
Right now or for the future?
I mean, just like any... I'm trying to think. Have you seen anything this week?
I watched Pieces of a Woman.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Vanessa Kirby is incredible. It's really great cinematography. The first 30 minutes are gripping. Really, really compelling stuff. I didn't really care much for the rest of it, though.
Okay. Do you recommend I see it?
I don't know. A lot of people seem to be kind of like lukewarm, like veering slightly positive, just on the basis of the performances, I guess. But I think it's worth watching. It's just, I don't know. I had higher expectations.
Well, I mean, I feel like I've been hearing about it for a little while now. And I mean, obviously the Vanessa Kirby stuff, I mean, Vanessa Kirby is an extraordinary talent. I mean, she, you know, has been showing off her action chops recently, and it's, you know, she's been doing really well. And I've been just wondering, because I haven't seen her in a full drama yet. Maybe that's all.
Have you watched The Crown at all?
My mother watches The Crown.
Okay. She's in the first two seasons of that. She plays Princess Margaret, who's Elizabeth's sister.
Yeah. And that's not to say, you know, and I'm not trying to, you know, throw shade at The Crown. I'm just saying, you know, I haven't seen it, but my mother has seen it. And my mother talked very, very highly of The Crown. So
it's pretty good.
I need to watch it. I think when I heard that Stephen Daldry was, you know, was a part of it, I was like, oh, great. The guy who did the Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close guy, really? Does an English drama again? Oh, great. But then, you know, it's been winning Golden Globes and getting Emmy noms. And so I'm like, okay, I guess I'll watch The Crown soon. It's on my list. All right, so... with that, because I haven't seen anything else. I've been doing kind of, you know, some research on the character Superman for a later podcast, later project. So that, you know, we'll get teased out and, you know, teased out later. So anyway, David, with that, where can the good people find you? On Twitter.
My Twitter handle is wiser_David, and then I write for my blog called Film Assessment, and that's what the Twitter handle for that is as well.
All right. And all the links to the Film Assessment and David's Twitter account and Film Assessment's Twitter account, Twitter handle will all be in the description below. You can find me on Twitter at MovieKale. And that's where you get all the updates on the podcast and when the next episode is. I'm not quite sure. We will either do, next week we will either do Moraine or One Night in Miami, or we'll probably end up doing both. So thanks everyone. We'll be back very soon with a new podcast on one or both of those movies.
Life.
Reuben, the world does keep moving. It can be a damn cruel place. But those moments of stillness radiant and magnificent. All the fear is gone. That place will never appear.